The first weekend of official events for the 2025-2026 Pokemon Championship Series have concluded with the results of both the Frankfurt Regional Championships and Monterrey Regional Championships being in. While Frankfurt concluded their stream with Emmanuel Berganti taking home the gold, Monterrey didn't have an official stream. Down in Mexico, Stefan Mott was busy winning the whole event with a super anti-meta team that included not only Sylveon and Garganical, but even Scyther of all Pokemon. Scyther is a Gen 1 bug flying type that hasn't been competitively relevant for a very long time, and despite this, Stefan used it as an anti-meta pick to win the entire event. Luckily, I happen to be friends with Stefan, so today we'll be able to speak with him about his team, and he'll be talking us through why he chose to run this Gen 1 bug of all Pokemon. If you enjoy, be sure to like, subscribe, and check out the Patreon, of course, but you can also hype the video. It helps me out a ton. Let's begin. All right, we are here with my good friend Pengi, Stefan Mott. Now, Stefan owed me a favor. He's the Monterrey Regional Champion. One with a Scyther, if you haven't heard, but Stefan owes me a favor here because we once went on a double date so bad it ended my relationship. So that's why he's able to hop on here and do a little interview with me regarding his run at Monterrey Regionals. Because if you didn't know, Monterrey Regionals was not streamed. Best you can get is some recordings from the crowd. And I want him to tell his war story and just answer one very simple question. What the heck? That's it. Anyways, want to say hi?
Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here, and we're going to talk about Scyther and other weird things today. It's going to be a great time.
Epic. All right, so we have a few things to go over. First of all, we should really just start with your team. Like, the whole Scyther thing is kind of getting misconstrued on Twitter. I'm on your side with this. I'm very much a... I think Karen was meant to be a quote for the casual players going through the game. Like, hey, maybe you should try to win with Wooper. Wouldn't that be cool? Cool little challenge run. And not necessarily like actual genuine advice for regional tournaments. You got hit immediately with the, wow, you're kind of like Seijin Park, but with a Scyther. So we're going to begin with the basic question. You already said on Twitter that like Scyther is not one of your favorite Pokemon, which
I
is
like
a,
him.
Yeah. I was going to say like, that's a bad opinion, guy. But
like, he's like top 15 in Gen 1. He makes like the top 10%.
Oh, of course.
I like him.
Yeah.
The funniest part, the additional context that like you might know and a bunch of my friends know, but like, I think I might be the one of the bigger haters of the whole I'm gonna try to win with like funny mons.
Which is hilarious because you do it all the time.
I know, but like that's kind of why I hate it so much. Because yeah. Like, I don't, because like I never set out to use a weird Pokemon because it's weird. I only ever build teams that I think are the best teams to win. And like, I look at the game a little bit differently and I like have a different process. So sometimes that leads me into places that other people don't go, and that's cool. And I really love and I appreciate that people like my teams and that they think I'm cool. But I hate so much that I'm becoming slowly this poster child of like, see, this guy wins with his favorites. I'm like, no, I don't. No. Like, okay, but like Garg is like cool and I love him and Dengo is my favorite. But like, all of these Pokemon are here and we can cover why. Like, all of these Pokemon are here for specific reasons. Sylveon is my wife's favorite Pokemon. Wife buff, haha. It is there as a matchup check to King Gambit. Like, it's not there because... it's really cool that I got to bring Sylveon to a tournament. I'm so happy when I get to use Pokemon that I like. But it's so funny that, like, immediately after Scyther won a regional kind of went viral on socials, people are like, wow, see, like... if this guy can win with his favorites, then I can too. And I'm like, no, you probably can't because I saw your team and it has a Dugtrio on it. Like, let's stop this.
Pengi, I want to let you know that I completely agree with you, but I agree with you in the way that's cool and interesting, but you're saying it in the way that like you would tell a kid at the mall that the mall Santa is not the real Santa and that the real Santa's somewhere else, trust. But that one's not him. I wasn't gonna say, also we can't discount the wife buff. The wife buff is crazy. Like Sylveon, come on, power love.
All right. Can I be real with you? So like I won game one of finals because Rose the Sylveon living, like Rose the living legend, the mm-hmm. Sylveon crit the setup Volcarona.
Oh my god, that's so heat. All right, let's get to the brass tacks of things. So what does Scyther do on this team?
All of it.
All of it?
It does all of it. Like, I want to just, like...
I know one thing it does. I know one thing. I see dual wing beat. Yeah. I know what that does.
So the main reason I brought Scyther initially, I spent, like, 7 hours over the course of 2 days, 7 consecutive Pokemon BDC hours, staring at the builder, sorted by BST, just scrolling, looking at move pools, looking at calcs, finding absolutely nothing that covered all of the things that I needed that to cover. The super obvious one, like, the team struggles with Annihilate, with Taunt Final Gambit Annihilate, and mm-hmm. to a lesser degree with Mousetape. So, like, I wanted something that did well into that, but specifically, I needed that slot to also not lose to Sneasler and Didi, not lose to, Sinistra stuff. Like, I needed it to check an extremely random amount of things. Like, just a really, like, this, and if I don't check one of those things, I suddenly have, like, a really bad borderline auto-loss matchup into something. And then I also needed the Mon to be fast enough to be part of my fast mode. So it replaced a Sneasler, and the Sneasler was a huge part of the team. It was a really, really important piece because of how it was part of the fast mode, along with, like, Ninetales, Golden Go. So I was looking for all of these things, and it wasn't even... The Sylveon slot was a little bit more funny, but, like... I went through a lot of different Mons for the Sylveon slot. The Scyther slot, I didn't go through very many Mons at all because I just couldn't find anything. I just kept looking and not finding a single Pokemon that did what I needed it to do. It was, like, we weren't even throwing out ideas. I was just like, maybe we have to pivot. Like, I can't solve it. Yeah. And then I started looking at calcs for Scyther, defensive calcs as well, and I'm just like, there's a tweet that my friend Keon put out, where it is the screenshot of me realizing that Scyther is the answer to all my problems.
Yeah.
And, like, that was my legit reaction. And then in the building group that I was discussing it with, it was really funny because it was in the middle of the workday. So over the course of the day, people would log on to Twitter or to Discord for the first time, open the channel, and just see us discussing Scyther calcs. Just be like, what are we doing in here?
Like, they're just sitting there and they're like, they are not winning that regional.
Yeah. So, but, like, the thing that is really important about, like, to keep in mind about Scyther, right, is for the, like, A, it's 105 base speed, which is an extremely important speed stat.
Yeah, faster than Charizard speed tying Electabuzz, right?
It also, as an adamant Scyther, outspeeds Annihilate, because the base 90s hit 156, and adamant 252 hits 157. So you can either run it as a jolly Scyther, outspeeding things like Charizard, outspeeding sort of that tier, or you can just lean more into, all right, I'm going to outspeed Annihilate and just kill Annihilate. And Dual Wingbeat, boosted by Technician, is basically Brave Bird. It's a Brave Bird that kills you through Sash. It's really, really, really good when it hits. It's a 90% accurate move. About half of my game losses were because I missed Dual Wingbeat on the winning turn. And despite that, Scyther was still the second best Pokemon in the tournament. Like, it is so good. And then defensively, Bug Flying is, like, it's not the worst type right now. Like, when you think about the actual Pokemon that are around, right? It is 4 times weak to rock. What rock types are in the format?
Like the stray Hisuian Arcanine and the stray T-Tar, and that's it.
And they're both outsped by Scyther. You can U-turn out, you can close combat them, you can do a whole bunch of stuff to mess with those teams. So, you don't really care about that. You're weak to ice. The only ice attacker is Alolan Ninetales with base 81 special attack. They're all running Sash. It's not really all... they're not all running Sash, but a lot of them are running Sash now. It's really not that scary. Specs Ninetales is completely dead. Like, you'll run into Nevermelt Ice, and I think Joan Garcia or somebody used Life Orb at Frankfurt, but I'd never played against it.
Yeah, and you're Eviolite,
like,
so...
And you're Eviolite, exactly. Yeah. So, like, you're not taking... My main... But, like, your defensive typing, like, it synergizes ultra well with the team as well. I have three weaknesses to ground. Having a ground immunity is a really, really good switch in. Having a 4x resist to fighting in a format where fighting is really, really common is super, super good. I can do things like swap out Incineroar into Scyther in front of an Ursaluna, or I can, and it creates a really, really good defensive type chart into certain matchups as well. So if you look at like the P2 Ursa stuff, for example, if you have an Ursaluna on the field, you have no safe play. Every single play is a 50-50 of some kind, because like, yeah, you can click headlong rush into the Incin to also cover the Golden Ghost switch in. But if I switch in Scyther, you just whiff. You could click Facade to cover the Scyther switch in, but if I switch in Golden Go, you just whiff. There's so many things that Scyther does on a defensive synergy level that are really, really cool. And then finally, you mentioned Eviolite. Just to give you guys an idea of how bulky this thing is, because people look at Bug flying and they're like, wow, that thing can't live hits. It has 80-80 as its defenses. It's like, it's not as bulky as Porygon 2, but it's not that much weaker than Porygon 2 on the bulk side either. It only has 10 less defense. Like, it's kind of crazy. This thing's really good. I think, like, it's a pretty splashable Pokemon right now. It's just really, really good into the meta right now. Somebody on Twitter put out an analysis of Scyther, and they pointed out, they took the graphic of the top 12 Pokemon from phase 1 of Frankfurt, and they're like, yeah, Scyther hits 10 of these for super effective damage. It's like, yeah, it's really well positioned right now.
Yeah. I do have a specific question about Scyther. Mm-hmm. So Scyther is, I mean, obviously it has like a phenomenal speed tier. You know, you're outspeeding Charizard, you're speed tying Electabuzz, you're outspeeding Annihilate, and it has really solid bulk. The thing that I'm actually really curious about your specific Scyther is that you opted to go for close combat in U-turn rather than, I don't know, like some non-switching bug move. I don't even know what you would run on this thing. I don't even know if it still gets Bug Bite. Rather than like Bug Bite and Ascendant move like Swords Dance, right? Because Scyther only has 110 attack that can be seen as a little mediocre, in modern formats considering how bulky things are in this metagame. You know, even like Rillaboom probably maybe lives a dual wing beat here or there. My question. Oh yeah, you have Technician. My bad. Yeah, Technician. My question is, why close combat over some kind of setup move? Cause it seems like the team is basically zero setup, which is kind of rare in Reg H. Like, you usually have at least one sort of setup mon.
There's really no reason for the team to set up. The team is built around chip damage, so, like, setting up to one-shot stuff doesn't really matter. You only really need to one-shot specific things, and close combat allows you to do that. So, like, the mouse holds are all max speed. Above 90% of them, yeah. Right? So, like, the mouse holds are all max speed, which means that they will all die to close combat. Kitar obviously will die to close combat. A lot of the things that are weak to fighting are also not very bulky. So even though I'm not getting that Technician or even a stab boost on the Scyther, like Excadrill is going to die to close combat because it has a 60 defense stat.
Yeah.
Right? So
basically just Incineroar lives it.
Yeah, and like Arch takes a comical amount of damage from it, but it still also gives me a 100% accurate move that's not U-turn if I want to pick off something like I used it in two out of my five games against Brandon. I used it to just make sure that I KO'd his like 30% Terra Electric Arch, where I'm like, okay, cool, like I'll just go in and make sure I actually hit this mon. And the biggest thing as well is that I just want to be able to hit steel types. Terra Steel is a pretty common Terra type in this format, and being able to just turn into steel and not be at risk from the Scyther is like a little bit annoying. So that's kind of nice. I think it's the best move for it here. Scyther has a really interesting kit of a lot of other options that do nothing for my team, but are really interesting for other teams. It gets Tailwind off of a really good speed stat. It gets Faint, which is really, really cool. There are definitely ways that you can run it that are like pretty solid for other teams. Skitter Smack is also a really interesting idea. Struggle Bug is even like there are a lot of things that Scyther can do. Most of those things you probably don't want to be doing with a Scyther. Like, if you want to run Faint, put it on a mouse hold. Like, there's other things that get that move. But like, it does get a lot of options. So if you are in a position where you really want something that checks those Annihilates, and you want, like, faint, obviously you can't check the annihilates with mouse hold, so you could maybe try running, like, dual wing beat, technician, faint, scyther. Like, there's a lot of different ways that you could build this Pokemon to fit into whichever team it wants to fit into. But I think it's a legitimately extremely strong Pokemon. It has a base stat total of over 500 and Eviolite, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then paired with technician, paired with dual wing beat in a format where grass and fighting types are super, super common, paired with its defensive typing when there are not really that many rock type Pokemon. All of those things together make Scyther a really, really good Pokemon. It's super, super legit. It's not just for this team. And I see a lot of good players immediately discounting it, and I think that they're going to have a bad time against people who actually do bring it, because I'm seeing a lot of people immediately removing the Scyther from this team, not really understanding that, A, the Scyther is super important for this team, but it's also just really, really good right now. And obviously, if the meta shifts in such a way that Annihilate becomes a lot less popular, the niche goes down a little bit. But there's so many things that this thing can do. The stats are so good. 110 is not even that low in attack stat in this format. Annihilate's 115. It's good.
But Annihilate's still Annihilate. Like, we have to acknowledge that.
Yeah, like, it does get Wraithfist, right? But like close combat off Annihilate's attack stat is really comparable to dual wing beat off Scyther's.
Yeah. I do find it kind of ironic that close combat is, like, sort of Scyther's best move, despite dual wing beat being stab. And it's kind of funny, just because, like, what are you mostly close combating? Mouse holds, you're mostly close combating. I mean, Sand's pretty popular right now. You're basically forcing a Terra into the T-Tar, which is really goofy because you're kind of having like a Mexican standoff where it's like, am I going to Terra? Are you going to Terra? I might Terra Steel and close combat you. You might Terra flying and, you know, not protect, you know, like there's so many weird interactions, but
it's very fun.
I will point out that this team, I've known you for years at this point, and I'm familiar with a lot of your teams because we'll talk between rounds and discuss here and there. I remember at Sacramento, you also had Assault Vest Incineroar and Moringa Berry Garganical. My question is, what about the Moringa Berry? I mean, the Incineroar is different now. You're not running Drain Punch anymore. I thought you were cooking when you were running Drain Punch on it, but the Moringa Berry on the Garganical, like, what made you want to bring that back for this regional?
It's broken. The team plays so differently from any normal team of Pokemon that, like, people don't really get it. It's very unintuitive, and a lot of players, especially when you have a regional coming up and, like, you see that deadline kind of bearing down on you, even if people look at a team and they're like, this looks cool, but I'm not really familiar with how it plays, and I have 9 days till the regional, so I'm gonna pick something else. That's kind of been the prevailing thought process every time I send this team to someone. Like, I have talked about this team to so many people. And, like at this point, I've offered this or the earlier version of the team, specifically the earlier version, because I didn't go to Toronto. I offered it to, like, 10 people for Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, MDB reached out to me after LAIC asking about it, and I was like, yeah, no, I think it's really, really good right now, because, like, I had a really close set against MDB at LAIC.
Mm-hmm.
And but he didn't end up using it, and, like, I offered it to, like, a few other people for Toronto. Nobody ended up using it. And when the format came back, a lot of people asked about it, gave a bunch of people, there's a whole video report on Adi's channel, so I directed people there, and everyone dropped it. Like,
yeah,
people aren't willing to invest the time into learning how this team plays, which is good for me.
Yeah,
but
you can keep running it.
The team is broken. It's so unbelievably broken. It, like, I had people asking me, like, oh, your matchup spread, how do you win against this? How do you win against, like, this seems bad, this seems bad, this seems bad, this seems bad. I'm like, no, those are all pretty favorable matchups. Like, I didn't play a lot of ladder in the run up to this tournament, but I went 28-3. On one account, and then I went 10-0 on another account. So I went 38-3 in ladder games, or in ladder sets, with this team. It has an extremely good all-around matchup spread. There's one bad matchup that we'll talk about that, like, I didn't manage to solve in time. But to answer your actual question, this is a 100 base HP, 130 defense, 90 Spidef Mon that, like, essentially has an assault vest and recover.
And all, like, you need is for them to hit you. And that isn't even really the case anymore because you have a U-turn Mon.
Well, the other thing too, right, is that, like, people look at this team, or they look at the existence of a Garganacle, and so many people are like, oh my god, I can't believe Stall won a regional. This is not a Stall team.
I completely understand what you mean, actually, because when I look at this team, it reminds me of how I used to play, and I'm a much worse player than you, but I want to have a little anecdote. I used to play specifically Wochen Garganical Glamora at like every single event, and people would ask me, why are you playing stall? But the issue was I wasn't playing stall. I was playing like chip everything until it's in range of, what was my mon? I think I was running Scarf Golden Go back then, but it was Fluttermane. It was Fluttermane because it was a different format. I was running Fluttermane, and basically it was just chip everything in range of like Fluttermane and click specs, Dazzling Gleam.
It
never worked out for me. Because one, I'm not you, and two, it was a much higher power level format. This feels like a very specifically like Reg H. It feels like it works better in Reg H because the power level's so much lower.
Yeah, Garg is a Pokemon that falls off incredibly hard as soon as it can actually get killed. Like people were throwing it around in some other formats, and it's just bad. It's really bad if it can get killed. The point is, if you at any point have to commit like 4 or 5 attacks into the Garganacl slot to remove it from play, I have a Sylveon or a Golden Go or a Ninetales just blasting you from the other side, and you're taking, like, it's just, it forces trades that are always going to be negative. So, for the opponent. So, it's just so, and it's extremely punishing. It creates situations where opponents who don't properly understand the matchup because they've never played against Garganacl with Moranga Berry and whatever the hell the rest of this is, they don't understand the commitment that it's going to take to remove the Garganacl. So they'll do something to use Brandon Davis as an example, right? Like my first match against Brandon Davis, he leads in DD Armourouge. He clicks Helping Hand Expanding Force turn 1. I take like 70%, get Moranga Berry, and click Recover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool. And now if you do it again, I take less and Recover outheals your Helping Hand Expanding Force. And my partner is just doing it for free because it's an Incineroar.
Yeah.
Like, have fun. And people just, a lot of the time they'll attack into the Garg and they'll lose so much momentum because they just don't realize how much they have to commit to it that like, now your board state's way worse and mine is the exact same. Mm-hmm. So the it's really, really funny. The Moranga Berry is the I think it is the it is what makes the Garganacl broken.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this a lot on the team report that I did in November. But the funny thing is when we initially conceptualized the team, well, I mean, initially conceptualized is wrong because Garg was a very late addition because it was originally a Dodo Sneasler team, which is funny because neither of those Pokemon are on this team now.
Yeah.
But so when we were working on Garg, initially we put a couple of things on, but I had been talking with Tekka before they even announced Reg A. And we were looking at options before we knew what the rule set was going to be. And we were like, Moranga Berry Garganacl is so good. Mm-hmm. And then Moranga Berry wasn't in the game. So I just kind of forgore. And then I remember when we were looking around on Garg stuff, I was just like, I wonder if they added Moranga Berry in one of the DLCs.
And there it was.
So it is an Ogre Ouston reward.
Oh my
God. You know, here we are. Moranga's back, baby. But it's so good. It's such an incredibly broken Pokemon. People still don't understand all the mechanics about Garganacl. Like, I talked about this last time. People don't know how Stealth Rocks works in doubles. It's really funny.
It's so funny.
Even in this one, like, in this tournament, I had an opponent in the last round of Day 2 Swiss who tried to position an endgame where I think they had a golden... Oh, no, it was, I think it was their Golden Go. They had a very important piece on board, and they were positioning to send in their Incin for a second Intimidate to keep the Golden Go alive to allow them to KO me with +4 Make It Rain or something. And they just didn't know that if the Incin dies to rocks, they just don't get the second Intimidate. So they bring in the Incin, it dies, no Intimidate, Dengo dies, GG.
Oh my God, that's actually so cool. And this is like an Incin format, like Incin's pivoting around everywhere. What was its usage? It was like second in usage, third in usage for this tournament?
Probably something like that.
It looks like it's third overall in the format right now. But yeah, no, and it's also a multi-scale Dragonite format. It's also a Sash Sneasler format. Like, I'm just looking at all these Pokemon that you have to deal with that just don't want to deal with rocks. In fact,
let's kill. Like, so the other thing too is that this team works really well because so many teams I have Mons that will 1v-X a ton of teams if I just removed the threat, right? Like, yeah. Rilla Sneasler cannot break Terra Flying Guard. If I can remove the other Mons on that team and just have a Garganacle, I win the game. There's mm-hmm. nothing they can do. Crit Dire Claw does barely less than recover. So, like, and I'm immune to status because I'm a Garganacle. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's nothing they can do to win the game from that position. So I can look at these matchups and be like, okay, if I remove X, like, the Dango teams. If I remove the Dango, I win. Like, you cannot break the Garg anymore. There's nothing you can do. I win the game.
That is Garg's greatest strength, is just walling out half the format and only losing to a few specific Pokemon.
So I actually played Len on a side stream, but this is like one of the few matches that was not recorded, which I'm really sad about, because Len was running Len shit. He was running sub lefties Garchomp. So I just killed everything else and then timer stalled him with Garg every game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't kill, like, Dragon Claw's hitting me for, like, 60 damage. Like, you literally can't kill me. Crits do less than recover. Like, there's no amount of crits that's going to win you this game.
Yeah, and, like, even... It's so even funny. A Golden Go, like, if you Terra Flying, that first Make It Rain's going to hurt. Even from, like, Specs Golden Go, right? Like, you're going to live if you Terra Flying, because you're Garganical, right? And then you get the Moringa Berry, you just recover on the first Make It Rain, and now it's like, okay, they're doing negligible damage. Because it's not... Minus one, it's like, what, minus like 2.0, it's like 2.25 times less because the berry activating
it's,
and then
it's
minus one.
So crazy. There was a game, it was actually game three against Len. Len leaned really, really hard into his specs, his scarf Golden Go, which was good. and there was a turn where, cause like, he clicked Make It Rain, he gave me Moringa, and I was at like 75 HP on the Garg. So I protected the next turn, he clicked Make It Rain again, he goes to minus two. And he had Corviknight, and I had not Terra'd. But I positioned that because I was like, okay, Len doesn't know his Garg Calc super well. He's not gonna body press me. He's gonna click Make It Rain Brave Bird to try to cover the Terra. So if I protect the Garg, get the Dango to minus two, my plus one Garg at 75 HP will survive Make It Rain Brave Bird and recover up. And I just lived on nine, recovered, and that's the game. Like,
yeah.
Nice try.
Nothing hits harder than recovering with a Garganical at red health. Nothing hits harder.
Yeah.
Trying to think if there's any other specific questions. I mean, like, Avian, Incineroar, Terra Fire, what are you doing?
Yeah, so the I have a streak. You might be aware of this as mm-hmm. somebody who I talk to. I'm currently on a multi-year streak of never bringing a normal Incineroar to a tournament. There's always just some bullshit on the Incineroar set. I won my first regional with Burning Jealousy, 20 special attack EV to break Zacian subs. Like, and like you said, the original team had Drain Punch on the Incin. I almost broke that streak. It was very sad. I was running Terra Grass on the Incin and I put U-turn on and I was like, goodbye, my streak. We're running a normal Incin, baby. And then Carrie and Olivia, like, 10-0'd me with Volcarona. I'm like, oh, wow, my Volk matchup with Overcloak is really bad. What if I just ran Terra Fire Incin to cover that?
Does that one shot?
No, but okay. It resists Terra Blast, and it does, like, 75. So it becomes that whole thing of, like, as long as I chip this thing below 75, like, we're fine.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about, like, Volk Buzz or anything, you know?
And the Volk teams don't run Intimidate.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fine. The funny thing is the only time I actually Terra'd the Incin was not against Volcarona. I Terra'd it into Justin. It didn't work. I was really behind, and I hard read that he was going to CC my Incin to the Sneasler. So I'm like, what if I just Terra Fire and kill you? And, mm-hmm. and then he did not CC me, and he lived.
That's actually
because he's really bulky.
I guess I'm understanding the gist of this team. It's Garganical. I guess there's two modes. It's Garganical everything into ranging Golden Go, or Golden Go and Scyther everything into the point where they can't break Garganical. Is that basic?
Yeah,
is that the
of.
Gist? Like, it's like the two lines.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to play it. So in finals, I leaned really heavily on Ninetales Sylveon lead. Like, you can just, like, you can bench the Garganacle as well. Like, that's something that, a lot of people, like, don't really respect that, like, cause it is a Garganacle team. The team is built around Garganacle.
Yeah, I mean, they have to respect that Garg might
they
come
have
the
to
game.
Respect.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that it's not that they have to respect that so much. It's that they don't respect that it might not. Mm-hmm. So, like, suddenly, like, a good example is, like, when Brandon led Flamigo or Saluna. Like, if I hard call that and lead Dango Ninetales, the game is over on the spot.
Yeah,
like, you are dead.
Blizzard Make It Rain, goodbye.
Exactly. And like Scyther lead could do really well. Like Scyther A-Tails is like a lead that could do really well. Like Golden Go leads occasionally are like Golden Go leads are really good into things that are good into Garganacle. Mm-hmm. So like Incin Gold leads can be really good. Ninetales Gold leads can be really, really good where it's like, oh, you're going to lead your specs Golden Go. I have Scarf Golden Go. Have fun. So there's a lot of different ways that you could play it that fundamentally all kind of lead to the same paths of you can no longer kill Garg and I win, or everything is in range of my spread moves and I win.
This team's so real. I really like this.
It is maybe my favorite team I've ever built.
Yeah, it's giving me like vibes of stuff that I used to like to run. So like I when I saw that you won with Garg, because I'm a big Garg fan, I respect the hell out of Garg. That's like a top five mod for me. I have to try it now. I have to go on ladder and goof around with this and see how long it takes for me to become like hopelessly addicted to running Salt Care again.
Garg pill.
Yeah. You reach a point where you're like, oh man, clicking that Salt Cure into the Golden Go and watching them have to switch even though they could take a kill next turn. You know?
So the funniest thing is people, like, there are so many mechanics on Garganacle, right? Yep. Stealth Rock, Purifying Salt, Salt Cure, all of these different Moranga Berry. Like, apparently Justin didn't realize until after our first set, or during our first set, that steel types take double salt cure damage. He thought it was only water.
How do you not know that?
Like, it's so funny. Cause, like, I remember that explained so much when I heard about it, cause I clicked salt cure into his Golden Go lead in game one, and then it just took 25, and he just goes, huh?
Yeah, knowledge checking people.
Yeah, dude, you lose now.
Knowledge checking people with Pokemon mechanics is always insane. What was I gonna say? The Garg is terrifying, obviously, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about, like, bringing Garg to Malsafe? I mean, like, that's Scyther's job, but, like, have you ever had to, like, do the thing?
No. Garg walls ape.
Yeah. I was asking if you ever, to do the thing where you're like,
Garg leads into Malsafe.
Yeah.
Garg leads into Malsafe. Sometimes. It doesn't have to, but, like,
it's your hard wall.
It can.
Well, not hard wall, because enough boosts and all of a sudden that Rage Fist hurts, but.
Well, like, there was somebody, I think it was my round two. He actually did really well. I think he went like, top 16 or top 32, but like my round two guy, he clicked like a plus one 250 power Rage Fist into my Garganacle. I think he just didn't understand. I think he didn't know. And it just did like 50% and he was really confused.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't know that Purifying Salt's like three abilities.
Yeah, but the funniest part about Purifying Salt, so for those of you who are not aware, it gives the Garganacle a ghost resist, but it's not actually a ghost resist. It halves the damage, but what that practically means is it does the same thing, except it doesn't tell you in the game, because it doesn't say it's not very effective. Cause it's not very effective. It's just halving the damage. Mm-hmm. So people will do that and they'll just be like, what? Why? And a lot of people won't clock it, and they'll just be like, holy shit, they must have like 200 base defense. Like, what? So they just won't click anything else into the mon either. It's so funny. Like, and I know, Marcus Dion obviously knows how Purifying Salt works, but like, he clicked Last Respects with like, two mons KO'd from his Bascu Legion into me, and it did like 70 damage. Not mm-hmm. percent, just 70 damage. And he just went, huh.
That's interesting. And yeah, and a lot of Bascu Legion are like Scarf right now, so like they end up locking into a ghost move and Garg just endgames because they're also a water type. So you just Salt Cure.
Yeah. So like we also considered, or like I was running right up until like 2 days before when I switched it to Sylveon, I was also running Gastrodon in the Sylveon slot because it was still a bulky Yawn user with spread damage, mm-hmm. but it also forced the Bascu Legions into no win positions where you either lock water and you lose, or you lock ghost to kill the Gastro and you lose.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is really important to talk about and with this team, that really when you get to the highest level of playing this team, it's all about finding do you know chess terminology at all? Are you a chess guy?
No, not super into chess.
All right,
you can say it anyways. I'll probably know because I watch a lot of chess videos.
Okay, cool. So basically this team is a lot about identifying and forcing Zugzwang positions. So essentially what that means is Zugzwang is essentially, it's a term that refers to when you're opponent is forced to make a move that will worsen their board state. So you can find a lot of those positions with this team where, for example, your Incineroar is at 24%. I can force a Zugzwang position on the Incineroar where I can click Stealth Rocks that turn, which means that the next turn, the Incin is on board, dead to Salt Cure, but if you switch it out, it is also dead to rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're either leaving Incin on board in a useless position, and it's going to die at the end of the turn, and I can take advantage of that, or you're switching the Incineroar out, which is a passive turn, and you're also not saving the Incineroar anyway.
Yeah.
So, you could create a lot of positions like that, or, like, a position where, into Golden Go, like, I have Salt Cure on your Golden Go. You go down to, like, 20, like, sub 25% on the Golden Go, so you're dead to Salt Cure. I have not protected the Garganacle. You're at plus 4. I could click Protect and you die, or I could click Protect and you switch out the Golden Go and you lose all the boosts, and it's as good as dead anyway. So, like, either way you lose in that position. There is no winning play. So, I can identify those kinds of board states that I can play towards, where I can look at a board and be like, okay, cool, so this Mon is currently at this much HP, so if I Salt Cure it and then, like, hit it with a knockoff, it'll hit it to this much HP, which allows me to do this on the turn following, and then that creates this Zugzwang position where my opponent always loses.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as a pin, because a pin is like, it doesn't matter what my opponent does, I win the game now. Like, what I like to refer to as, like, those kinds of positions are, my opponent has freedom to choose from a lot of different plays. And I'm not specifically countering that play, I'm ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I don't care what this Pokemon does. So another, like, the perfect example is, like, if I click Stealth Rocks and hit a Vivillon to minus, to, like, below 50, like, knock off on the Vivillon, I will just leave it on board for the whole game. Because that Vivillon is not threatening anything on me. I can't sleep out of the Garg. It doesn't do any damage to anything on my team. And it's dead to Stealth Rocks if you switch it out. So I'll just leave it there, pretend I'm playing 2v1, until they switch it out. Because switching it out is a bad play because it's passive, and leaving it on board is a bad play because it's not doing anything. So I could just play the other Mon, and that kind of creates the, like, creating those situations is where you really get the best value out of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really hard to identify those. I have about 4,000 games with this core, including last year. So, like, that's why I'm able to play the team at that level of comfort. But it's really, really fun because I like looking at the games as sort of puzzles where I'm like, oh, okay, like, interesting. You're at this amount of HP. How can I get you into a position where, like, I can force you to essentially just have to choose which way you're going to die.
Yeah. They're playing checkers and you're playing Minecraft.
Exactly.
I guess my last question is the Marco Silva team. How funny is Garganical into that?
Oh, it's so funny. I played Abby, Sly Abby, in round 4, I want to say, and she was on Marco's son. She led with leads that I had never played against before, got turn 1 extremely right both games, and just got destroyed anyway. It was so funny. And it's like, that's not because she's bad. She is very good. The matchup is just so incredibly favorable.
Yeah, like,
that, like
half that team, no, I think it's more than half that team's weak to Stealth Rock. Like,
yeah, and you know what else is funny? People will be like, wow, this team's really weak to Ursaluna. I can bring in my Ursaluna. Have fun taking 18% from Salt Cure plus Burn every turn. It's really not that hard to stall that out.
Yeah, like, you protect once on the Ursaluna, what, 18? It's 36%. They're a third of the way gone.
Yeah, it's really, like, I mean, Ursaluna can still beat me down if I'm not playing well against it. But, like, even the Mons that look good into this are bad for reasons. Like, Dengo, obviously, you look at this, you're like, wow, my Dengo goes really hard. Yeah, you have 4 turns. Have fun. Like, make it count, buddy.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about Garg into Ursaluna even more and more, and it just gets funnier and funnier because it's like, okay, so you do the, you know, first turn, Salt Cure, next turn you protect, and then they go like, okay, I'm at 36% damage. I need to get it right this turn. He's probably going to Terra flying, so I'm going to facade. Nope, resisted. Okay, well, maybe this turn I get it right. Terra, recover, protect. Oh my god, I have like two more turns to use this Ursa Luna.
Yeah, no, it's really, really funny. Like, it's the, super funny. The way that, because people aren't used to playing with a timer on, right? Like, if as soon as you create, like, people will identify those kinds of Zugzwang positions that I'm trying to go for, mm-hmm. maybe, like, a turn early, but it's too late at that point. I'm like, I've already, like, it's done. Like, you are salt. It's like, people will see the board state right before it happens and go, oh, that's what you were doing.
Oh.
Run, like they're confirm, bye-bye.
Like, just like, man, maybe I can get to this end game where I can just beat down everything in the back. And oh, my Incineroar's in range of Make It Rain. Like, yeah. How did that happen?
That's the other thing too, right? Where like, when I was running the Gastro, the reason I really liked Gastrodon in that Sylveon slot is that Gastrodon did on min roll, the way I had it EV'd, like, it did on min roll 25% to Golden Go. So the way I was playing the team was like, Muddy Water to Golden Go, 25% is Assault Cure tick. Like, yes. That's why I did that, right? Where I'm like, okay, this means that I take away one turn from that Golden Go, which creates a board state where you now essentially have to get three hard calls right on the Golden Go to win.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that that's the board state, so you're not making aggressive calls. So you just lose. So, like, people will be like, all right, well, got a nasty plot, the Golden Go, and now I'm going to click Make It Rain. I'm like, cool, I recovered the Garg and switched in Incin. You're now plus one, and you don't threaten the Garg anymore. Like,
this Sylveon really is just that Gastrodon again, now that I look at it, because you have Yawn on the Sylveon, and you have I've always liked that the Yawn Stealth Rocks thing, where it's just like, okay, you're going to protect, or you're going to take chip damage, or you're going to, what was it? You can stay in and take chip damage and be asleep, or you can switch out and take chip damage when you come back. You choose.
Yeah. So, it's really good. The Sylveon, like, it is just there to answer Black Glasses King Gambit. My Black Glasses King Gambit matchup with the Gastrodon was really, really bad.
Yeah. That makes sense. Because they don't run
it
steel.
It was one of those, it was one of those things where, like, without the Black Glass, there was a while where all of the setup King Gambits were running goggles, and like the damage boost from Black Glasses is what makes it really bad. So now that they're all trending back to Black Glasses, it made it really, really difficult for the Gastrodon version. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to park Sylveon on the team for now. I ran out of time. Sylveon, go. But it's really funny that I get to say that I won a regional with Sylveon when Sylveon is my wife's favorite Pokemon. So, like, I'm very, very happy that I ended up accidentally locking Sylveon because I ran out of time.
Guys, if you watched it this far into the video, comment down below, wife buff. final question. I keep saying final question because you keep giving me more questions of this team. And that just means that you're good at explaining how the team works. It might sound like it makes you bad at explaining how the team works, but it's just that it's like an onion. Like, you just peel back another layer. I'm like, okay, well, now I have another question about why this layer looks funny. So what was that bad matchup you said you couldn't figure out before the tournament? You said you'd cover it.
Covert Cloak Volcarona.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, Covert Cloak Volcarona. I played two. One of them was in finals. I won, but that's why the Incin is Terra Fire, because I'm like, I need to live Terra Blast, and if I can chip it to 75 and just kill it, it's not good, but, like, the matchup is playable now. I went, like, because initially I played Olivia, and Olivia won, like, four or five sets in a row against me on the Gastrodon. And that's when I was like, okay, I can't do this. Like, I played a couple rain sets without Gastrodon, and I was like, okay, cool. I'm winning the rain sets without Gastrodon. I don't need Gastrodon. We're putting Sylveon in that slot and patching King Gambit. We're fine. And then I went into games against Carrie, and Carrie won, like, legitimately 10 sets in a row against me with just Cobra Cloak, Volcarona, Gambit. I'm like, okay, this is really bad. And I was like doomering a little bit, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, Volcarona's not really that high usage right now. Support Volcarona's going up in usage. I don't care about support Volcarona. As like, I just care about basically the carry team, which is what this is. And I'm like, okay, as long as I don't expect for there to be a lot of Cobra Cloak Volcaronas. On ladder, a lot of the Cobra Cloak Volcarona players are not identifying how to play the matchup in a way that makes it that terrible for me. A lot of people, especially in game one, the other Volcarona I played, and actually Conseco too, in game one, they did not lead the Volcarona because they were really scared of the rock type. And I was like, cool, okay, like, I can use that against these people to, like, maybe squeak out game one and then, like, try to win game two. But then I played against Carry, and Carry was just, like, immediately, like, oh, I know the line, and just bodied me over and over and over again. And I was thinking about it, and then I DM'd him a little later, and I was like, hey, man, do you think the matchup becomes playable if I go Terra, Fire, Incineroar? And he's like, I guess.
He's like, it doesn't get worse.
No, I wasn't really terrorizing the Incin. Like, it was grass on the first team, but, like, I have two immunities to Spore just on abilities alone. Like, I have so much Amoongus hate on this team. I don't really need grass. And into the matchups that Amoongus is on, I'm usually trying to Terra the Garg anyway. So I was like, okay, I'm not Terra grassing. So I switched to Terra Bug, which was better, but I also wasn't really using that very much either. So I'm like, I think I used it, like, me and my building partner, Ethan, over, like, 180 ladder games, I think we Terra'd Incin, Terra Bug 3 times. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to run Terra Fire. It's fine. Like, we'll make it work.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That makes sense. That makes sense. No, I could see why Covert Cloak Volcarona would actually be, like, a menace for this team. But yeah, no, I think that's basically all the questions I have. Obviously, you know, you don't want to give out the EVs yet because you're probably still going to be adjusting this team and using it for the next couple of weeks, probably, you know, if it works. I wonder if it works. No, I won a regional. Of course it works. You know, but yeah, anything you want to say before we wrap up here?
Just a big shout out to, like, I'll go through my shout outs list. Big shout outs to my pal Ethan Splatty Daddy, who's been with me the whole way with this team. We've been building together for most of Reg H. And big shout outs as well to young Elmer's Glue Chase Rumpsey for joining the squad. He's been testing a lot of our new techs and helping to sort of increase the sample size of data, giving his input as well. Shout outs to my wife for just being very, very supportive and for winning me finals with the power of a hyper voice crit and a 2-turn yawn sleep. Bless. And yeah, I mean, a big shout out to the Mexican community as well, to be honest. They're so cool down there. Like, I mean, the Latin American community in general. I've been to a regional in Brazil. I've been to LAIC a couple times. It's my second time in Monterey as well. They're all so welcoming down there. Everybody is just, like, so happy to be hanging out and playing Mons. And, like, it's a smaller, like, the regionals are smaller. There's less people playing at those regionals. So you really have a much more tight-knit kind of feel. Everybody is super chill. Finals was, I really hope that somewhere someone has a recording of finals with audio, because the two that have been uploaded do not have audio. And it was a really wild, like, there were a couple hundred people watching the side TVs, and that crowd was going crazy for my opponent. It was so much fun. Like, constant chants, like, huge cheers whenever, like, there was a KO. It was a really fun experience, and I really hope that somebody does have a recording with audio to kind of show that, because, like, there's a lot of passion in the Latin American community, and I think the Latin American community gets a little bit ignored is the wrong word, but, like, there's not enough attention on the Latin American community. Yeah, they get written off somewhat, and the community down there is so cool, and, like, if you look the teams that did well at this tournament, I like the preface is, this is not a Mickey Mouse tournament. Like, the Mexican regionals last year were a lot weaker than this one. We had 45 invaders from North America come down, including a lot of really, really, really good players. And then obviously Mexico has their own really good players. And then we had other LATAM staples like Renzo coming up, the Commander coming up. Like, this was a very, very, very strong tournament. And despite that, look at the teams in top 16. There's a pledge team in top 16. Like, the building in LATAM is so cool. And, like, I really, really like the way they approach the game down there as well. I think they have a really, really cool community, and I just wanted to highlight that really quick.
Yeah. And I mean, like, of course they were going crazy watching, like, cause, you know, we have a Mexican in finals in a Mexican regional against an American. Of course they're going to be like, hey, hold on, wait, this is our regional. Like, you know, you always want your country to do well. Like, I remember at NAIC when Patrick Connor, Pat Conn, you know, he was playing against, who's it, Aurelian, right?
Yeah.
He was playing against Aurelian, and people were like, no, we need to take it home. North America, we need to take it home. Like, you get you don't really care like 99% of the time when you're playing VGC, but like when it's your home when region, it's when it's finals,
when there's an invite on the line, like yeah. I stole an invite from LATAM.
Yeah.
But no, but I think the other thing that's really cool is like they had that passion in the finals and they were getting so invested in the finals, but then after the finals was over, they were like, nobody was like, oh my God, I can't believe they stole an invite from us. Like,
yeah, nothing but good sports.
Like they were so awesome. Like everyone was like so, so kind. People were commenting on how much they loved the team, how much they loved watching the finals, how much they really enjoyed the games. And, you know, like everyone was like, I think the other Americans or like North Americans had a similar experience as well, where people are coming up being like, oh, are you guys going to come back? Like, it was so cool having you guys here. And, yeah, like they're just so welcoming in the Latin American community. And it's just, it's always really humbling and really, really, just it's just a lovely experience to go down there and just hang out and play with people that you don't usually get to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, I want to thank you for hopping on here, Stefan. Appreciate you. You no longer owe me that favor. We're good now. We're even. We're square. But we'll call it there. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.